as the world looks above me, as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new, and I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's what matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There is food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and your fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
The Gospel of John, chapter 10, and we're going to pick up in verse 37. Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 37.
John, chapter 10, verse 37 reads this way. It says, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning asking for your blessing, for the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds, that we might worship you in truth and spirit. Lord, that you would be glorified in worship here this morning, and that we would hear from you, and that you would again, Lord, be highly exalted and glorified. Bless and meet each need here this morning, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is "That Ye May Know and Believe." That ye may know and believe. Does God want us to grow in faith? All right. Even after salvation, he wants us to grow in faith. Does he want us to know him in a better way? He wants us to know, and he wants to increase our faith. To know means to have knowledge through observation or information that brings certainty. Let me say that again. To know means to have knowledge through observation or information that brings certainty. Does God want us to have more certainty in him than we did yesterday?
Amen.
Amen. This is the type of knowledge that brings with it confidence, assurance. And when we say trust, you can use that word trust and faith interchangeably. If I have my faith in the Lord, does that mean I trust in him? All right. Jesus said this. The Bible, the Word of God says this. "How shall he who gave us his Son not also freely give us all things that are needed in our relationship with him? If he has given to us his Son, will he not also freely give us everything else that is needed?" Okay, that's important. That's important. Let me share this thought with you. I believe it's God's will that you hear and I hear when we see him face to face, what? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's God's plan. That's God's desire. God wants us to hear that from his lips. In fact, listen, how can we be assured of that? He gave us his Son. He gave us his Son that he might be everything and everything that you and I need to worship and walk with our Savior. So when we consider this morning, I want you to realize that "ye may know and believe" does talk to those who do not know the Lord as their Savior, but it also refers to those who are in the Lord, in salvation. The disciples were there. Was the Lord doing a work in their lives as well as those who he was preaching the plan of salvation to? Absolutely. So, with that said, I want you to know it's also my heart's desire, but I want you to know this even more important. It's God's desire that every one of us hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's my desire. It will thrill me to hear all of God's people that are under the ministry that God has placed me in, the ministry that God has placed me and privileged me to share the gospel, that everyone hears the same thing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to hear it for my life, and I also want to hear it for your life. Here's the question. Do you want to hear it? All right, that's important, because if you don't want to hear it, I tell my kids, you know, I can't walk the life of faith for you. You have to make that choice. I can't do that. And God, listen, nobody can do it for you but you. And the way to do it is to call upon the Lord. So you want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I believe you do. Don't answer this question. Don't answer this question. When was the last time you asked God to make sure that you hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Did you get up today and say, "Oh God, that I might hear you say to me, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant'"? How about sometime this last week? How about sometime this last month? Hey, wait a minute. If you've not asked, ask him right now. "God, that I might hear, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" Do you know why? Because God is a God of mercy and grace. And here's what we need to realize. God gave us his Son to give us eternal life, to give us the Holy Spirit, that through him he would glorify himself in your life and mine. Through him, the Holy Spirit, he would fulfill his will in your life and mine. Now, here's an indicator that you want to look at. You want to take this test. Whose righteousness are you counting on to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? If you're relying upon yours, you're going to have failure. All right, so here it is. Ready? Do you agree with that? If you're relying upon your righteousness, you're going to fail in the things that God has called us to do. So if you are failing, whose righteousness are you looking to? Not God's. If you're failing, you're not looking to God's righteousness. Now listen, that is an eye-opener. That is important for us to meditate on. If I am failing, I am not looking to God's righteousness that saved me. I'm trying to pick up the ball and trying to carry it when he says, "No, that's my work." And so it's important, because I believe God, he purposed his church to glorify him. Do you believe that? The church this morning is in God's house, sitting in your seat. In your seat. And standing behind the pulpit here this morning. This is the church. And God wants us to realize that if we're failing, it's because we've not stopped and asked God, "Lord, your righteousness in me, not mine. Lord, I'm failing. Here's the problem. And I want you to take me out of the way. Lord, I don't know how to get out of the way. Every time I try to do something for you, that's just it. I'm trying to do it, and I'm not asking you to do it in my life." As you study the Word of God, you will see that that is paramount and so important in the life of the believer if we are going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If we are going to be the light that God wants us to be, beginning first, where? In your own family, in our own family. What good would it do you and I? And by the way, listen, I believe God wants everybody in here, I believe God wants their family to be saved. And you'll never guess what tool he wants to use, what vessel he wants to use to lead them to his salvation. Us, doesn't he? He wants his light in our lives, that our family might see there is a God that changes people. Isn't that what we believe? So if we're failing, are we looking to God's righteousness or our own righteousness? Ours. If we are getting success, If God is bringing us success, then we've got all the reason, and we will worship God right there. When we see success in our life, when we see God's intervention in us, in the behalf of His honor and glory, and that we might be the light He's called us to be, we will be able to honor and glorify, and we will worship Him. We will say, oh God, thank You, because I know every time that I'm in control and I'm looking to my righteousness, I'm going to fail. Because I'm trying to do something in my strength and not God's. And I may be doing it even with a genuine heart of love for my Savior, just like Peter did, but he kept putting his foot in his mouth, didn't he? Until he stepped out of the way, and until he, listen, remember, the Lord said, you have to deny yourself. You have to deny yourself. We have the habit of trying to look to ourselves. I've got to get busy for God. Are you getting busy for God? You better not get busy for God. You better ask God to get busy for you, or it will never happen. God wants the church today to be the light of salvation to a lost and dying world, beginning with our own loved ones. And unless we realize that He has to do the work, we're going to get in His way. And the only thing we will do is we will mar the work of God. God won't do it. Because God will not share His glory with anybody, not even you, not even me. But praise God, He will give us everything we need. How do I know that? Because He gave us His Son. And if He gave us His Son, the Word of God says, will He not also freely give us some things? All things that are needed. So the problem is not the gospel. The problem is the individual believer. And the hearer. Are we hearing it right? The disciples were right there with the Lord. Did they hear it right all the time? No. But wait, how about the mercy of God? Did the mercy of God not intervene and do things for them in the midst while they were walking with the Lord? They still didn't get it right. So likewise, in your life and mine, if you're saved, there's no doubt in my mind you have seen the hand of God in your life. But not as much as God wants it to be there. Because we have a way of getting in the way, and we come up with all these wonderful ideas. Like Peter said, Lord, it's good, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Lord, it's good for us to be here. How about we make You a tent and a tabernacle and Moses and Elijah? And the Lord had to come out and stop all that from heaven and say, this is My Son, hear Him. Follow Him. Not ourselves and what we think. We can come up with so many great ideas and neglect calling upon the Lord to do His work in our lives. All right. Now, as we consider this, I want you to look at this text, and I want you to see that the Lord wanted them to know, that means to have knowledge through observation or information that would bring a certainty concerning who He was, and many of them missed it. And it can happen in our lives. Back, we're not going to turn over there, but back in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, when Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and the doctors of the law who doubted in their hearts, when the scribes were there and the Pharisees, they began reasoning amongst themselves, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? That's what they attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He told the man that was lame that your sins are forgiven. And you remember what the Lord said? When He perceived their thoughts, He answering, said unto them, why reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, rise up and walk? Why did the Lord present that question? What's the easier thing to say? Your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise up and walk? Well, obviously, rise up and walk would be the more difficult thing to do, because that would prove something that He had the authority from God, because He was God, to bring healing. But He says this, but that ye may know, right there in the text of Luke chapter 5, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sin. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thy house. And the Bible says, immediately he got up and walked. That's the work of God. Immediately he was no longer a cripple. Do you know when God comes into your life and mine, when we yield over to the Lord and call upon Him, we will know immediately that God is working. We will experience the peace and the grace of God and the freedom and the understanding that He's wanting to do a work in our lives that will bring Him glory and will cause us to be the light and the salt of the world that we need to be. So let's look at this text here this morning. Notice a couple of things. First of all, I want you to see a false question, and you and I can ask this as well in a different mode, but still the same manner. And then I want you to see the witness of works. This is important, and an eternal truth. So back up with me to verse 24 here in our text, chapter 10. In fact, let's look at verse 22 so we can get the whole story here. John 10, 22 says this, "And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said to him, 'How long dost thou make us to doubt?'" How long are you going to make us doubt? "If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Did he not already do that? Listen, if we're not careful, you'll get that amongst people today. The answer's already been given, and they're still asking the same question. And they're missing the boat. Because truth comes from the Lord. Truth does not come from anywhere else. Anywhere outside of the Word of God, listen, you're going to find deception and dishonesty. It is the Word of God. By the way, listen, this was the quote-unquote religious group of the day, the Pharisees. They were the ones, listen, they weren't just somebody that started off wrong, like some of the so-called faiths today that started off with a man. You know, there are cults that started, that's a following after a man. Charles Taze Russell started the Watchtower Association. That started after a man. The church was already in existence. By the way, there are things that call themselves churches that started after the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, centuries, maybe even millennial after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that are not churches today. And yet they would profess themselves to be proclaiming the truth. So when we look at the Pharisees, I want you to know this. They started off from the right place. The Levites started with the salvation of God leaving Egypt. And they became corrupt. Wait, listen. Is it possible today that those who have the right lineage as they did back then veer off track? Is it possible for God's people, God's church? Isn't it amazing that when God calls for a people to call upon him, he's not asking for just anybody. He's saying, if my people. If my people. So, verse 25, Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believe not." That's a simple answer. I told you, and you didn't believe. But he's not finished with them. And then notice he says, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Now, what do we call somebody? What do we say about somebody that says one thing and does something different? What do we call people like that? What? A hypocrite. A hypocrite. Here, listen. So they say one thing and they do something else. Do we have hypocrites today? Are the hypocrites just amongst the religious realm? Mm-mm. No. In fact, there are some hypocrites in the political realm. Oh, did I say that? They say one thing and they do something else. But wait a minute. Are we going to get our feathers ruffled because we talk about politics when we ought to be, listen, more concerned about the truth? Speak the truth. I don't care what political party or what realm, we ought to listen, say, speak the truth. So if you tell me you love a certain group of people and you're hurting people, is that not hypocrisy? If you're telling me that certain people are hating, see, listen, if truth is not in our inward parts to be able to discern our whole life, we're missing something. Do we want to stand on an ideology or do we want to stand on the truth? Let me tell you, this morning, the problem with the Pharisees was that they were standing on an ideology. They were standing on their rules and what they thought that they had manufactured as time went on. Listen, the problem today in God's church We have manufactured things and excused ourselves from the work of God. God has taught many times in the scripture, God wants us to honor and glorify him. Does he not? So here's the question this morning. Is it taking place in your life? Do we know what God has called us to be? Holy, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood? Isn't that what the Bible says? Is that taking place? Now, listen, more important than the political realm, and I will tell you, as far as politics goes, there's hypocrisy all over the place. On all sides of the aisles, in case there's more groups that jump in there. On all sides. But listen, what we ought to be more concerned about, more than anything else, is us as God's people. We as God's people. Because God did not call for the world or those without Christ to be the light and the salt of the earth. God did not call the unconverted people to call upon him to bring healing in the land and to bring peace and to bring the joy of the Lord. He called upon his people. And as we considered this, he's saying, listen, I want you to know I was with you. And listen, if you don't believe me, at least believe me because of the works. Notice he says here, but ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep. Look at verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So let me ask you this question. By the way, notice this in verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Is that true today? Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Isn't that good? Now wait a minute. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Then he says, I and my Father are one. Now let's look at this eternal truth. The Lord is saying that there's a spiritual change that transpires or takes place in the life of the individual that knows the Lord. And now we've got a decision to make. Just because we got saved does not mean that we are walking in the truth. But here's what the Lord does tell us, that the natural man cannot understand spiritual things without being converted, without salvation taking place. Hold your place right here and go with me over to the book of 1 Corinthians just for a moment. 1 Corinthians and look at chapter 2. Now tell me if this has happened in your life. If we've been saved, then we are a new person, right? But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's a promise to the believer, right? But God hath revealed them unto us how? By his Spirit? Is that what your Bible says? So listen, God has given you and I an insight that the world is not getting. And he has revealed that by his Spirit. By the way, listen, has he given you and I a new life? How has he revealed it? How do you know? Do you have knowledge? Have you been able to observe or gather information that brought certainty into your life? Have you experienced the free pardon of God's salvation? Have you experienced your sins being forgiven? Do you have an inward understanding that God will never bring that condemnation into your life again because of the righteousness of God? So he says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. In verse 10, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Do you want to understand more about what God has given to you? Call upon him, but do not neglect the importance of the Holy Spirit. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. This is verse 11. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Is that in your Bible? I didn't just make that up, did I? So has God given to us things more than eternal life? It all begins there, and that is the greatest prize. But has he not given to us a new life? Has he not given to us a will to walk in his ways? Are we walking in them? And I will tell you today, as God's church, we're falling short. We're falling short. And that is because we've either gotten in the way of the Lord and starting to do something for him and stopped asking him to do his work in us. So, look at verse 12 again. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also, verse 13, we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Why do we do that? Now, I dare say, here's where we're falling short. We're not looking at spiritual things and comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. We're trying to compare spiritual things with our natural understanding, and we're falling short. And he says this is important that we don't get this confused, because verse 14 says this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We can approach God with the natural intellect, and here's how it works. Ready? Peter did. Well, Lord, I'm not going to forsake you. That was the natural mind. Well, he was in and out, wasn't he? He was in and out. Hey, Lord, you're the Son of God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So he was in and out. Lord, though I'll forsake you, I'm not going to do it. And then all of a sudden, while he was getting ready to go to the cross, they had this discussion. This was really spiritual. Which one of us is going to be the greatest, Lord? That was really spiritual. And so likewise, you and I can miss the spiritual truth, and we can fail to see the way God works as a child of God and completely miss him. Here's the question this morning. Does God want us to know and believe? Isn't that what the Bible says? That ye may know and believe. And it's not just to the lost world, but it's to every child of God. Why? Because the glory of God is at stake. Souls are at stake. The grace of God that he wants us to experience, that God has promised to you and I, is absent from this world. And listen, if we just keep going on through this world, and we don't see the light of God in our lives, and we don't see the power of God in our lives, don't expect it. I'm sorry to say, but don't expect. If you're not being delivered on a daily basis and experiencing the grace of God in such a way to where you thank him for it, well, then there's not much going on. The book of James says, what good is faith without works? Isn't that what the book of James chapter 2 says? Does it say that? You know what it really is implying? A faith that functions, a faith that works, guess what it does? It works. It functions. It operates. What good would it be if you had a tool that didn't function? If you had a powered drill that didn't function, is it going to do anything for you? Does God's salvation work? That's a question you can answer, that one. Does God's salvation work? But if it's not working, can we not say there's a problem? Now, here's what I would say. The problem is not with God's salvation. The problem is with my understanding. But we've got to get, first of all, to the place where we're saying, there's a problem. There's a problem. And we've got, the only way we can do that is to look at the Word of God and then look at our life, and are we seeing the work of God, or are we just giving God our best? That is not the work of God. Your best, my best, is not the work of God. He doesn't want our hands anywhere near it. So if we're just trying to give God our best, we will fail and fall short. There's no doubt about it. So God is giving you and I a wake-up call. You know why? Because eternity is sure. And one day we will look into the face of our Savior, and God is wanting us to understand that there is a way that we can have success, specifically God's success, given to us. Because he's the one that's done all the work. So let's go back to our text very briefly, and we'll see the problem here that they were having. And so he says, I want you to know something here. He says, those who are saved are eternally secure. There's no doubt about that. If you're eternally secure, if you have salvation this morning, could you say amen? Amen. And who do we thank that? Who do we thank for our salvation? He's delivered us. Do you have knowledge of that? Do you believe that? Have you been brought to the place where you have observed or gained information that brought certainty to you? Is that all that, when I say that, is that the end of God's work just so that you have eternal life? Or did he say that I want you to present yourself so that I can work with you? Here, I want you to present yourself a living sacrifice. You ever stop to think about that? Who was doing the work when Isaac offered himself up as a living sacrifice? Was he doing anything? Or was Abraham the father doing it? So if we offer ourselves up for sacrifice before the Lord, do we need to do anything? We just need to present ourselves, and God says, I'll take it from here. So if we're willing to do that, God will be able to do a work. Listen, I am convinced if we are ever to understand the truth and to experience the grace of God like he wants us to, we're going to have to first of all really examine our own lives and say and ask ourselves, has it even entered into our mind to ask God, Lord, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or have we heard that and just said, I'll never make it. That was for Paul. And Paul said, listen, I want you to know I ran a good course, I fought a good fight, and listen, henceforth, he says, there's a crown laid up for me. And then Paul added this, not for me only, but for all those who love the Lord. Question this morning, do you love the Lord? There's a crown for you and I. But we won't get it in our strength. We won't. We have to be willing to say, God, today, tomorrow, we have to be willing to say, God, I want you to do something with me for your honor and glory. I'm looking at the Word of God and I'm hearing what you're saying and I can't do any of that. That's a good place to start. I cannot do any of that. Listen, that's my confession. I've already confessed that before the Lord, but I want you to know I cannot be gentle, patient, kind, long-suffering, and all the fruits of the Spirit. I can't do it. Don't tell me you can either. Because you and I are of the same sin nature. Here's the question, ready? Now that we both know that, does God already know that? Isn't that why he said, call unto me? Listen, that's where the truth sets us free. You mean I don't have to carry that load? Or should we just did Jesus said, take my yoke upon you? Why? Is it light? Okay, so if we're walking through life and we're complaining, you're not carrying the Lord's load. You picked up yours somewhere along the way. And what we need to do is say, God, ready? I need you. I need you, God. I need you to be my peace. I need you to be my joy. I need you to be my stability in life. I need you to be my refuge. I need you to be my light. I need you to be my grace. Do we need the Lord? He wants us to know and believe. He wanted these Pharisees to know and believe. They rejected him. But how about you and I this morning? What will we do? Let me give you a quick thought here, right here in our text in John. He says in verse 30, he says, I and my Father are one. Now listen, that's all he said. Verse 31, you're going to find aggression. Here's the question, why the aggression? Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. This is not the first time. Now, if you're talking to somebody and you see them bend over and pick up rocks, and their countenance is falling, might you have an indication that things aren't going well? Jesus answered in verse 32, "Many good works I have showed unto you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" They never asked the question. But Jesus saw their heart. He revealed it to them. They just picked up stones. He says, "Now why are you going to stone me?" So here's the question. Are works important? Are works important? Yeah, they are. Listen, I can say something and not mean it. But what you see me do is who I really am. Do you believe that? So he said, listen, if you don't believe me for what I'm saying, believe me for what you're seeing. We looked at it this morning in Sunday school class. He fulfilled prophecy. Everything he said, everything the Word of God said that Jesus the Savior would do, the Messiah would do, he was doing it. And he says, listen, this is coming from my Father. We're one. Their hard heart would not receive that. You and I, as saved children, listen, they were not a cult group. They started off right. They became a cult, teachings after a man. But you and I can do the very same thing if we're not willing to believe that God's wanting to do a work in our life. That God is wanting to shine His light in your life and mine. And I'm not trying to be unkind, and I'm not trying to get us to do anything but say, God, I need you. God, listen, I don't know how you want to liken this race here. The race that Paul was running. You remember the race that Paul was running? Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that they without us would not be made perfect or complete without us. I liken, and that's where you say there's a great cloud of witnesses that have run on before us. I'm going to tell you, and I can be wrong in this, this is conjecture on my part, that the race that we're running is not really a marathon race, it's a relay race. And we hand the baton back to the next generation. To the next generation. What are we handing forward? What are we handing forward to the next generation? Is it the grace of God? Not just in salvation, but in a changed life? Please, don't settle. This is true. Yes, I'm a sinner saved by grace. But is that what God wants us to settle in a life of failure and no change in our life? So we can just sit there and say, we can just wonderfully say how God has saved us. And then we talk like the world, we act like the world, and the world says, that stinks. You're a number one hypocrite. Is that what we're going to settle for? Is that what we're giving the next generation? Well, I'm sorry to say, I'm not calling us hypocrites today. But look at the world. What is it picking up? Is it seeing the light of God? Are we just going to go along to get along and not expect a change? And here's the thing about a relay race. You always put your strongest runner at the back. In the relay race, it's always the strongest runner. Jesus Christ said, when the Son of Man cometh, he didn't say he wouldn't find faith. He just asked the question, shall he find faith upon the earth? I believe our generation is one of the last generations. I'm not saying it's the last one. I'm not saying the Lord's going to come back. We should be living like he can come back any time. I really tend to think he's going to come back in our lifetime. I really do believe that. I think that's biblical to think that anyway. But even if he doesn't, we still have an obligation to walk with God, that he might glorify himself in our lives. But I believe he's put the strongest generation. We have seen things that prove to us that God is on the threshold of his return. Did not the Bible said when the fig tree bears fruit, and I can show you scripture after scripture in the Old Testament that Israel is the fig tree? Was it May 14th? 73 years ago, 1948, Israel became a nation from nothing. They all laughed. We'll never be. We'll never be. Why? They were dispersed throughout the whole world. They laughed. They said, they'll never survive. And they'll tell you all the miraculous times God had delivered them. Some of them will brag about themselves. Most of the people in the land of Israel are not saved believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But isn't that amazing that God is still merciful to them because of his promise? Now let's put this thought together. Do you know why God is merciful to you and I? Because he is mercy. Because God is not looking to you and my faithfulness. And we should not be looking to God. We should not be looking to what we're doing for the Lord and our faithfulness. Do you know what we ought to look to, God? You know why I get to do what I do for the Lord? Because of God and his great faithfulness. Do you know why I am what I am today? Not because of anything that I have done, but because of God's great faithfulness. And if you're doing anything for the Lord, may you also be able to say the same thing. Listen, the only reason why I'm here this morning, the only reason why I think about the things of God is because of God and his great faithfulness. Because many things, many times, should have taken me out. Should have fallen flat on my face. I should have rejected the Lord a long time ago, but because his persistent love doesn't... Because you know why? We're in his hand. And he's not going to let us go. I think we're on a precipice as a people of God. Is our nation important? Yeah, but our God is more important. Listen, my loyalty is to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I love America? Absolutely, but it did not die for my sins. That's just easily put. My persuasion is from the Word of God, the truth. I have no political loyalty. My loyalty is to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may it be in Him alone. Before there was an America, there was a Savior. And I do believe that America, there's no other nation where I'd want to live. But I'm afraid we've forgotten who our Savior is in this country as his people. And I'm convinced that God wants us to realize it's high time that we get serious with him and do business with him. And what do I mean by that? Not get busy for God, but get busy calling on God to do his work and his will in our lives. Because there's a next generation that's looking on. And there's the glory of God that's at stake. Did God save us? Let me finish with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Do you remember this? I'm sure you're familiar with it. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Here's what it says. For the love of God constraineth us, keeps us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Is that real? New. New in what way? New in God's way. New in a godly influence that we didn't have before. New where we are marked. And all things are of God, verse 18, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto him, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, right now, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto us, unto him, unto God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. How? Oh, not in me? Not in my strength? I've told you this before, and I think it's important. And I remind myself of this on a daily basis. If I do something good for God in my strength, you'd find this hard to believe. I tend to think I'm something pretty good. That's what I would do. Man, I'm pretty good. Man, when you can walk like me, you might reach somewhere. Yeah, your face flat on the ground. Because it's not my righteousness. My righteousness brings me failure, discontentment, unfulfillment. But God's grace brings peace. How is it that Paul said, I know I got a crown? You know how he knew that? Because at everything he thought that was any accomplishment, he threw it in the dung heap. And he said, I am what I am. You know how I know I am what I am? What you see that's any good is because of Christ. Can we say the same? Is Christ doing a work in your life, brother and sister? Because if not, what good is our works or our faith without works? Not our works, God's work. God wants us to know and believe. And the only way that we'll have that is if we call upon Him. God, I want to see your salvation. I know I have eternal life, but I want to see your grace in my life. I want to experience that. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to participate in the salvation that you've given to me. I want you to glorify yourself. God, I can't do anything for you, but I present myself for you to do everything for me. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, may you speak to our hearts. May we realize the importance of the hour, that time is truly short concerning the influence that you want us to have, Lord, by your grace into this dark and dying world. Bless the invitation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.